You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
You are listening to the number one horse podcast in the world. Here's your entertaining look at the horse world and the people in it.
I am Glenda Geek in Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings in Norman, Oklahoma. You're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for Wednesday, March 27th, episode 3395. And it's travel week, so here we go.
Take off with us on the first annual Horses in the Morning Equestrian Travel Week. An entire week devoted to your future equestrian travels.
That's right. We are continuing traveling around the world today, and we have Wendy with us from Unicorn Trails. She's going to tell us about the amazing riding adventures that they offer. Especially, we're going to talk about Africa, which I think is every little horse girl's dream to go ride in Africa. Auditor Christina Jarrell tells us about her stories from her trip to Triple J Dude Ranch in Montana. Jamie's going to tell us about her riding adventure in Spain, and then in the Auditor Post Show, we're going to do the weird news. Now, on Monday, I highlighted a travel movie called City Slickers, and you said, Lucas hasn't seen that yet. I'm going to watch it. Did you watch it?
So my dad's in town, so part of the whole deal was like, let's get a family-friendly movie together, and City Slickers was such a great idea, and Chad was all mad because it was like $3.99, and he was like, why are we paying for City Slickers? It's so old. I'm like, one of those times I'm like, just be quiet and put in the
stop
PIN number.
Talking.
Stop talking. Shh. So we started it. Oh my God. I was cackling.
It held up. Yeah.
It was so funny. And I think it probably because I'm at the point in my life that Billy Crystal was at in the movie, which is like, I'm getting old. We're all going to die.
Yes, exactly. Out of shame.
I recorded the part that I was just crying over and I posted it on Facebook because I was like, this is how I feel right now. Like it was so, it really held up. Now, the bad thing is for children that are 10, there's a lot of sexual references in there.
I don't remember that.
Like you forget, like he's talking about, I'd like to wear that girl like a hat, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
And so there's some little adultier themes, if that's, you know, like I let my kid watch things, you know, I let him watch movies where they cuss because I'm like, that's cool. As long as you don't cuss. Well, I mean, I'm like, we can watch these movies, but if I hear you talk like them, we're not watching them anymore. So he's always been real good. But like the sex thing, I don't really care for in the shows. But this one was just blanketed enough to where it wasn't too bad. But the comedy and the humor, oh my gosh. My dad, Chad, Lucas, and I laughed through the whole thing. And it sounds weird that I'm reviewing a movie that's like 25 years old.
So it's worth $4?
Actually, my husband said that afterwards. Chad goes, okay, that was worth $3.99. It was just really funny. I hadn't seen it since probably it came out in theaters. And I just appreciated your recommendation so much because watching that, it was great.
Did the mama cow look fake?
So, no. Lucas was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. And I was like, let me tell you how they did that. Let me let you know. And it was great because my dad, like, Jack Palance is like, my dad's a Western movie hero. And he's like, you should have seen that guy in Shane. Oh, my. He was so funny. Like, he appreciated it, too. And, I mean, the horse Billy Crystal rides in was just amazing. I've always wondered, like, and we're going to talk about Hidalgo. And I think that he kept his horse at the end of the movie. I was wondering if Billy Crystal kept that horse.
I don't know, but I don't think so. Yeah. I know he loved to ride and he still likes to ride, Billy Crystal. He enjoys that. So,
well, Billy Crystal, 20 years ago, you did a good job. Like, why am I reviewing a movie that's 20 years old? I don't know, but it was great. It was great.
And I have to watch it again now.
I was like, you guys, that's a fake cow's vagina, okay? But the baby's real, so it comes out, you know? And then there's the part at the end where, like, they're crossing the road. I cried. Like, I cried hard. I mean, granted, I'm a little tipped over on the high emotional scale at this point in my life, but I mean, I was like boo-hooing.
I gotta watch
it. And Lucas
now.
Was like, Mommy's. He's fine.
Stop
he's fine.
Crying.
You don't understand. I was so, he loved that
don't watch El Dago, man.
Oh, no. Yeah. I don't know what's wrong. Emotionally, I was like, there was highs and there was some lows. And there, you shouldn't be crying in it, okay? Like, there's no reason
to
cry.
It's a Dude Ranch movie. Jack Palance, though, was the only guy who could play that role in that movie. There's a reason he won the Emmy for it.
He was so good. I was like, you guys know that he won the Oscar for this? And at the end of it, he got up on stage and he did 10 one-arm push-ups. And my dad was like, no. I had so many hot tips.
You did. All stuff you learned on this show.
Yep.
Speaking of movies that are about travel, El Dago, of course, came out in 2004. Another one that's been around for 20 years. And, of course, it's loosely, very loosely. This was a big criticism of the movie, was that it really was very loosely based on a rider by the name of Frank Hopkins and his incredible journey. He was a long-distance rider, but apparently there's a lot of poetic license taken in this movie. And, of course, the big criticism of the movie, this cowboy guy, he goes in 1891 to Arabia to ride in this, 3,000-mile race across the Arabian Desert, and to prove, and he wanted to prove how good the Mustangs were, and what were the horses used in the movie?
Do you believe it's a paint?
Yeah, they actually, you're correct. So, paint stallions were used in the movie and not Mustangs, which of course was a big criticism from the horse world in that movie. But old Viggo Mortensen made him a star. I think, he already was. And of course, he did Lord of the Rings and everything after that. Omar Sharif was in it as the Sheik, who played the Sheik beautifully. But, at the time, the movie didn't do very well. It grossed $108 million against a budget of $100 million. So it barely made any money.
Hey, I called making $8 million good.
Yeah, in the movie business,
I'd like to make $8 million and have that be like, oh, that was a bomb.
I kind of remember this movie, and I remember the sandstorms and the Sheik's daughter. I remember that. But I'd have to watch this one again to even...
All right, your turn. Your turn to rewatch a movie that's 20 years old.
A couple of things about this movie, though. Old Viggo performed many of the horse riding stunts in the movie. He actually took this very seriously and took riding lessons for a long time. So he was ready to do that. And of course, as you said, his horse, known as TJ, he purchased after the filming, and he actually rode him to the movie premiere. And that was a paint stallion born in 1993. And he just became a big fan of the stallion and took him home to New Zealand after completing the movie.
I think he also bought his horse from Lord of the Rings.
He did, two of them. Is it Uraeus and Kenny One? He bought two movies from Lord of the Rings. He didn't have to transport those as far. A total of five horses took turns playing El Dago throughout the movie. Each one was registered with the American Paint Horse Association. In the grand finale, I do kind of remember this, where it was that horse scene with all of the horses. They actually used 550 horses, because that's before CGI, really came into effect. And that took place in Montana. And to distinguish them, the 550 horses, each horse had its hoof branded, since they came from different owners. So they just got everybody who had, a horse that could donate for this race, and they branded their hooves, and there were 550 actual horses in that filming.
Now, is it a spoiler alert to say what happens at the very end of El Dago?
I mean, it's 20 years old.
Okay, so here's my problem with it. He lets him go, and it shows the horse running off, and you can see the shoes on him. And I'm like, could you not at least pull the shoes before you turn him loose? Like, that would have taken 5 seconds to show him pulling the shoes before you turn him loose, because it's going to really cause a problem later down the road. Yes. Now, I would like to point out that it is a great horse movie. It was written by John Fusco, we've had him on the show. No, he came on our show.
What was it?
He, He is a writer, producer, director, and he did Young Guns. Remember, I sang the Bon Jovi songs with him.
Yes, Young Guns.
He's
That's right.
the one who was in charge of Spirit, Stallion of the Cimarron as well. He wrote that.
And
he
told us to play that interview again.
Yes, because he told a story about sitting with Matt Damon and like drinking in China. Sure. Like, it was such a great, it was one of my favorite interviews ever just because it was so fun. Oh. And I didn't expect it. So
Look that up so we can reference when it was. I'll look that up and I'll give you that later on the show. So if you want to go back and take a listen, but we'll definitely have to do that as a best of here soon.
Yeah.
So Viggo's 65 years old and he's had a life. He's still acting, directing. He's an artist. He's written poetry books. He currently is doing a movie called The Dead Don't Hurt. It's a Western, and this is his second time directing, but he also wrote it. He co-stars in it, and he composed the music for it. He's also a musician. There's a guy who's had a life. And if you take a look at a current picture of him, I think he's one of those guys, he's one of those actors that's gotten better looking as he's got older without work, you know, without help. He just, you know, he's still a good-looking guy at 65.
He was in the movie The Green Book, and I mean, he was ridiculously great in that movie. I think he got an Academy nomination. I don't know if he won the award, but anyway, we're talking. This is a deep dive of nonsense. So anyway,
all right. Well, let's do some Daily Winnies and get to our guests. Well, a very happy birthday to one of our terrific auditors, Michelle Bush.
I just wanted to say the good news that Forgiven, the horse that has been here for about 3 weeks, has been adopted. Yay! From Horse and Hound Rescue.
He was forgiven?
He was forgiven. Remember, you were like, oh, I don't know about that name. Yeah. Well, he got adopted. There's some horses, I tell Farm Boy, I'm like, some horses come to us and they need to be ridden. Some horses come to us and they need to be trained. And I was like, this is one of those horses that didn't really need to be trained or ridden. It needed to be told that everything's okay. You know, like it's okay. Everything's okay. So I spent a lot of time letting him know that everything's okay. And it worked. And he is awesome now and just got adopted. Anyway, I was really excited.
Congratulations. That's number 186, right?
I got to do the math, but I think I'm over 150 restarts now, which is like just mind-blowing. It's awesome. And it's so fun still. Every day, it's like super fun.
Well, yeah. I mean, for a person with ADD, this is a great job for you.
I'm not diagnosed, okay?
Yeah, neither am I. We both have it. I got news for you. All right, let's get to our first guest. One of our terrific auditors had a riding experience while traveling, and we're going to talk to her about her experience at Triple J Dude Ranch in Montana. And her name is Christina Jarrell. Well, State Line Tack is still around, and they're going to be at Equine Affair. I'll be there in a couple of weeks. We're doing a meetup, as I talked about. I'll mention that again on Friday. So if you're going to be going to Equine Affair and you're around on Thursday night, you can join myself and some friends and listeners. We're hitting I think it's Cheesecake Factory, so that's worth doing. And State Line Tack will be there. They have a huge booth. And if you're not going to Equine Affair, then you can go online at statelinetack.com. Right now, they're highlighting the grooming and bathing supplies, and I don't know about you guys where you live, but it is time for baths. It is time to groom the gallons and gallons of hair off my pony, and he is still shedding like crazy. Nigel seems to be getting there, but Scooter's still got a lot of hair to go for a pony that lives in Florida. But you can find all the different grooming supplies, from the hands-on grooming gloves, which I use all the time on Scooter, to Weaver leather grooming kits, to the Absorbine Shosheen hair polish. I mean, just all the different grooming supplies that you can imagine. How many pages? They have 9 pages of grooming supplies on here. So you can find anything you need, brushes in any color, anything that you want as far as shampoo, to twinkle toes, just everything that you can find it at in one spot at statelinetack.com at a terrific price. Head on over there today, as well as a bunch of different clippers, because it's also that time of the year. Statelinetack.com.
Well, I'd like to welcome Auditor Christina Jarrell to the show. Did I say that right, Christina?
Yes, perfectly.
Okay. And you are kind of near Glenn's old stomping ground in Pennsylvania. Before you came on, before we came on the air, y'all were talking about diners and car shows and all sorts of nonsense. But that's cool.
It is travel
week. Welcome to the show. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So you got to go. I must admit, right now, I am in the throes of Yellowstone. I think I'm on, just started season 3. And I am becoming obsessed with Montana. I like have to go there now. I actually feel like I need to go buy some property in Montana and like not turn it into an airport or something. So I need to preserve the land for the generations of family that I have.
Buy a gun, because apparently you can't live there safely if you watch Yellowstone.
I mean, there's a lot of assaults that happen.
No, I mean, Rip will take care of us.
That's true. Rip will take care of us.
Oh, my God. I just love him now. Okay, so yes, he is a good employee to have. That is for sure. So you went to Montana. You've been there. Tell us about your trip to Triple J Dude Ranch.
Yes. So I went there in 2020, so it was a bit ago, but oh my gosh, it's like honestly the only ranch I'd like to go back to. It was just like a brief overview. Like we would fly and then they picked us up at the airport and it's about a 2-hour drive to the ranch, but luckily Augusta is halfway there. So we stop in Augusta and they have like the cutest Western town and everything, like, of course. And so we get snacks and food, whatever we want. And then we drive another hour to the ranch. You get, these cabins are the cleanest cabins I've ever seen. I was just expecting to rough it. I don't care. Like, so cutest cabins, the food, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, like, and desserts, like these desserts aren't just brownies. Like they have a, like, some type of pastry chef guy or something. Like I was obsessed. And then the trail riding, you did not see one thing twice. It wasn't a go down, turn around and come back. They always did it in a loop. You got to go ride up in the trees and the mountains. You got to go down on the plains. And then they had all sorts of like shooting guns, shooting archery, fly fishing. They had a ring that we got to do riding games in. They kind of just like covered it all for anyone, like a family. If the husband doesn't ride, they got it all.
So what are some activities that the non-riding partner can do?
Yeah. So the non-riding partner, so they have, what are the guys, the Wranglers. You can ask for someone to take you on a hike. Like you can do that. They have two types of ponds that you can learn how to fly fish. They have archery and they have shotguns to shoot clays.
It's adult summer really, camp, basically.
That's what I was thinking.
Pretty much. Yeah. That's great. It's a really great place.
So how were the horses?
Oh my God, they're the most sane horses I've ever met. Honestly, like for myself, like because like I help train horses and all that stuff, so I get like the crazy young ones. Like it was so nice. I'm like, oh my God, this thing knows what it's doing. It just has to go follow. Like this is so relaxing. I'm not gonna get fucked off maybe here or there. And they're beautiful. They're all so well taken care of. The Wranglers, you always see them get right to work after they unsaddle them. They'll throw out hay for them, top off all the waters. Like just for a person like me, like I notice that stuff. Unlike like someone else that's like just does it for like once a week type of fun, like type of hobby. But yeah, really well taken care of.
That's nice. So it looks like there's a kids program. There's adults only weeks. There's a discount if your guy doesn't ride. And there's pictures of a handsome gentleman standing in a river fly fishing with no shoes on.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the food. Oh, my God. This is gourmet food at a ranch.
And like the coolest thing was, so I went with my boyfriend's family and they have like a fox hunting group. And so we went all together and it was my boyfriend's sister's birthday. And like they were so kind. They made her a birthday cake. Like they brought the candles out. Like they added all this fun stuff. They sang like, it was just really nice because they like knew it was her birthday. So they really made it special for her.
Some of these places, though, it's nose to tail and you're walking. Do they take into account your riding skills and do they have riding for the more advanced like yourself?
Yes. So you have to fill out a whole form that you email back to them about your riding experience and everything. And even your height and your weight, too, because they have like horses all the way up to draft horses and all the way down to like I'm like 5'2". So they gave me like the smallest pony I've ever ridden in my life. But honestly, it was good for my size because it makes sense. But I ride all these big horses. But you have to fill out this form and you kind of explain what you've done in the past, how long you've been riding. And so they'll kind of match you. All their horses I've seen are really sane, but they'll match you with the best possibility. But with the nose to tail, there was some trails that were pretty narrow that we stayed like in a good line. You can spread out some in the open plains. And then they let you trot and canter up this like kind of like enclosed with trees around you because they want to keep you safe. And they'll let you actually like move the horse along so you get to do something besides just walking.
Do you have to work any cows or anything? I mean, do you get to work any
cows? She just
cows?
Watched City Slickers.
Yes, you actually do. No, you actually do. So they have some cows that you get to practice like team penning and all that. So three of you work together to try and get a cow in a certain area. And it is super fun.
Team penning sounds super fun. I don't want to rope anything, but I'd like to push stuff.
Yeah. We did play cowboy jousting, though. Do you know what that is?
No.
Okay. So it helps when you have a few drinks first. but basically you're not on horses and it's just you and another person and everyone has a rope and you run past each other and you try to rope each other's feet. That was very entertaining.
Yeah, I need a few drinks for that one. Makes the fall a little softer. Yeah. Well, that's cool. What's the website where people can go check this place out? Like I said, I love highlighting these different ranches because, you know, there's different experiences that you're going to have. Like just watching City Slickers, it was like 2 weeks and you're camping out and you're driving cattle and you're tired the whole time. And then you've got a place like this. It's like, we're going to ride pretty ponies and play games and see pretty things like and eat really good food. Like it just depends on the experience that you want to have, you know. And I do remember when I was at Triangle X, they come around because there's like a slow group, a medium group, and a fast group. And the guy was like, have you ever ridden before? I said, yes. He was like, what type of stuff? And I go, I'm a 3-day eventer. And he goes, fast group for you. And moved on. And that was it though. So I like that they kind of give a more extensive questionnaire on to match you appropriately with the horse. Now, as you were on the tiny horse, this is a problem that I'm having with Taco Tuesday. And I talked about it on Monday. When you're sitting on a horse that's smaller than everybody else, you feel like a child. Did you feel like a child?
Yes. Because Jamie, we ride big horses, right? Like we're very short. We compensate. We are on big horses. Like I like that feeling. I went on this, I think his name was Apache. He's so cute. I think I sent you a photo of him too. But I'm like, I feel my regular height. I don't like this.
It's just how I feel every day. I want to get past that, escape that when I'm riding. That's the whole point. That's awesome, though. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, cool. What's the website people going to go check this place out?
Yeah, it's triple spelled out, jranch.com, or you can type in on Google JJJ Wilderness Ranch. Either way, it'll come up.
Awesome. Well, Christina, thank you so much for coming on and on Travel Week and sharing your ranch talk. God, I'm jonesing to go to Montana, like, so bad. Y'all, I'm going to go this summer. Just, I don't know why or where. I'm just going to drive there. I don't know. I need some big sky.
Yeah, you need it. The stars, oh my gosh, at night were so beautiful. It was the coolest thing.
Easy, effective, and eco-friendly fly control starts with fly predators. Fly predators are the organic, natural way to dramatically minimize your fly problem. Learn more about fly predators and other Spalding Labs fly control solutions at Spalding, SPALDING-labs.com.
Well, this guest is brought to you by Daily Dose Equine, non-GMO core nutrition for horses and ponies of all ages. We have Wendy Hofstee with us of Unicorn Trails, and I assume you're in the UK someplace?
We are, yes. I'm in Biggleswade, Bedfordshire, which is just north of London.
Oh, wow. Sounds pretty. Is it horse country?
It is, actually, yes. So it's part of the home counties, and lots of horse owners here.
And so how did you ever, now, did I see you're a veterinary surgeon or were at one time?
Yeah, I still am. But that's how I started. So it's a very long story. I was born in Holland. My parents emigrated to South Africa and I became obsessed with horses there and decided that all I ever wanted to do was work with horses. So I did a veterinary training and then wanted to see the world because travel is my other obsession. And then ended up working as a vet in the UK in England and saving all my money for 6 months and taking 6 months off and traveling until one day we decided to travel on horseback just all together. Myself and two other veterinary friends. They're from New Zealand.
And then you ended up starting a travel agency.
Yeah, as a result of that, actually, agents later, I started and I funded by working part time. I changed to doing emergency veterinary work. So I found that I could work nights and weekends and set up my day job. And I did that for 5 or 10 years because, actually more like 8 or 10 because I really do enjoy the veterinary work. But I don't have time anymore to do it, sadly.
Wow, that's amazing life, though, when you think about. And did you? I mean, when you went to vet school, you weren't thinking someday I'm gonna run a travel agency.
No idea. There's a trend here. People are having serial careers, and it's just following your passion and animals and travel were combined for me. I was just very fortunate.
Now, do you go to all of these places and then look at the horses as a veterinarian and go, oh, this is bad? Or, what do you do?
Yeah.
Are you always critical?
Yeah. Yeah, I am, I have to say, because, I don't know if English people have very high standards of welfare and horse welfare. And so we started in England and we do have to, it's one of our selling points is that we send you places which have happy, healthy horses. And I visited 95%. I mean, at the moment we have 330 programs.
Wow.
With 180 partners. Yes. So in 56 countries. So I can't go to all the new ones, although I make a pretty good attempt, and I've been to 95% of them.
Wow.
But the rest of my staff go to the rest, and we have other vets on the staff as well. So, we are fanatical about making sure that the horses are in good condition.
You do. I was looking at your website, and there are just hundreds of options you have on there for equestrian travel. It has to be one of the most extensive in the world.
Yeah, it is. And, we keep adding to it. And, as people we work with, they retire and things change and we found new exciting places. So, there is a certain amount of turnover, about, maybe 10% every year or something. So it keeps us pretty busy visiting.
What's the advantage of using a company like yours instead of booking directly? What advantages do you offer for, let's say, even the first time horse person that wants to go on a horsey trip?
Well, I think it's really important for people to get personal independent advice because you call up a place. Well, first of all, places can look completely different on the internet than they are in real life. So you've got to be a bit careful about that. But then say you find a place that we list, you call them up and they'll say, yeah, we're the perfect place for you. But, you know, everybody has different expectations. You know, some people are focused on the riding or particular style, say Western or English. Some people are focused on the wildlife or more on the accommodation, the style of riding, the speed of riding, the accommodation, everything. And so we know all our products. So we would be able to match you with something that matched your expectations.
Now, it's so overwhelming when you go to your website because there's so much offered. So I guess the first thing somebody should do when considering a riding holiday is just kind of where in the world they want to go. Is that the first consider? Obviously, budget. You know, that's just a given. But
yeah, I think it's when you want to go, because certain and how long you want to go and what your riding ability or what you want to do. Do you want to ride just 2 or 3 hours a day and have a lovely vacation? Or do you want to actually spend as much time as possible on a horse and you know, that sort of thing? And then because if you want to, say, you know, go on a safari, there's a rainy season, the short rains and the long rains in Kenya, and then there's the flood season in the Okavango Delta in Botswana, and, you know, there's South America across the Andes, for instance. You can only really do in December, January, February. The rest of the time it's all snowed under. So really depending when and what sort of riding, and then where.
I wanted to focus on Africa. I know you've obviously ridden all around the world. You could talk all day on this topic, but we haven't talked a lot in Travel Week about Africa. And it's every horse girl's dream, right, to ride in Africa.
Oh, so, it is just amazing.
So, you know, I think Africa would be one of those that you really want to book a trip through a group like yours.
Oh, absolutely. Because there's a couple of things to consider. The type of game you're going to see, some game can be dangerous if approached wrong. Some game, it really doesn't matter. You know, they're just going to run away if you fall off your horse in front of them. So you want to be absolutely sure about the safety, how good your guides are. You also want to be absolutely sure that everything is, it's a big investment. It's a long way to go. You want to have the best experience possible. And yeah, I grew up in Africa. So, you know, that's part of my blood. I still think it's always amongst my top three favorite trips would be a safari on horseback, because you're traveling, you're as one of the animals. If your horse puts his head down and grazes and relaxes, all the animals around you relax because they know there's no predator. If your horse starts running off and galloping, they all get worried and they start running as well because they think there might be something about to eat them.
So of all the Africa trips that you offer, what's the one you go, okay, I'm a half-decent rider, but it's my first trip, you know, equestrian trip. It's my first time going on a horsey riding vacation. Is there one that you would, and I know this may change, obviously you also have to keep an eye on the politics and what's the wars and everything else going on, right? Is there one, though, you go, that's the one you should do first?
Well, that's a very loaded question because, you know, without a doubt, the two top destinations on my list would be Kenya, Maasai Mara, and Okavango Delta in Botswana. And those are the really big five, big game areas. You want to be a pretty confident rider. Not that they're dangerous, but if you have to follow a backup guide out and you have to go off at a smart canter, we can't have people after two strides who say, oh, whoa, I want to walk now. Mm-hmm. Doesn't work that way. But, you know, if you start at the top, you've got nowhere to go. So I always start riding in, say, South Africa, or some of the ones with not quite as much challenge to them, and then work your way up to the others. You know, it's amazing riding in somewhere like South Africa or Thule Block in Botswana or Zambia. There's just dozens of places that are beautiful with that whole bush safari wildlife experience without having to pay the earth for it.
And Jamie, is this something you've always wanted to do? Africa?
Oh my God. You know what? Just you talking about picking up the canter for three strides. That's what my holiday was like when I took my husband trail riding and like riding in Spain. And I'm just like, you know what? You're going to stay home and I'm going to go gallop with with zebras and giraffes and like run through the desert. Like everything about this is exactly what I want to do. It's just such a long flight, but that's okay. I'll take 3 days to get there. I don't care.
It is a long flight, but can I give you the good news? My husband's not a rider. Well, I think he did about twice when he first met me to impress me, and after that it was all done.
Yeah, but, they're done.
Yeah, they're done, exactly. But he came along on our safaris as well because he just goes on a jeep safari. It's great. They go off another way. We go off and ride. We meet up for a lovely picnic lunch or a sundowner, or we go on a canoe in the evening, or you know, we might even take a break and do walking. And he, you know, he got really competitive. He came to me one day and he said, "I've got more birds on my list that I saw than you today. The birds are better for walkers."
See, now I need to know that particular place you're talking about. Like, again, I want to gallop around with like giraffe. I want to be chased by a hippo. I want to like outrun the wildebeest. And I want him to be on a jeep somewhere else.
Yeah.
I love it.
You can share stories in the evening. That worked really well for me.
That sounds perfect to me, too, as a horse husband. That sounds like ideal. And, you know, most of these places, too, from what I've seen, and even looking at your details, I mean, you're not roughing it a lot of times here.
Oh, my God. It's not roughing at all. The thing about these safaris is the expensive thing is getting there and, you know, keep the game conservancies, you know, making sure that there's no poaching and so on. And so people tend to go that last little bit of cost where they upgrade your tent from a usual camping experience to glamping, you know, with proper beds and made up beds and solar panels and hot showers and things. That doesn't cost the earth. So they all add to that. So, you know, it's super luxury. It's, you know, out of Africa style. It really is an experience.
I want to be Meryl Streep in Africa. Like, you're making me feel like I need to do this.
I would say a horseback safari has to be on a bucket list for every serious rider.
Yeah, it is. Okay. You're going to send me some links of the good ones to pick. I've got to go to Montana first, and then I'll go to Africa. This whole show is costing me money.
Now, there's another one that you mentioned, too, that wasn't in Africa, and it was one in Ecuador. Tell us about that.
Oh, my God. Ecuador. My heart is in Ecuador because when I was a recently graduated veterinary surgeon and working, I met two other really good friends from New Zealand, Tanya and Sally, and they worked as veterinary surgeons as well. And we were all horse riders and decided we were going to go to Ecuador. We'd heard a rumor from someone in Spain that there was this route called Route of the Volcanoes because there's, you know, a lot of really high volcanoes in a plateau in central Ecuador. And we had this bright idea that we were going to buy horses and ride up and down this. And we did. I mean, we were there for 6 months and we had huge adventures. It was, you know, friendships for life. And that was what started Unicorn Trail. So, you know, Ecuador has a special place in my heart. And I can thoroughly recommend riding everywhere from the high Andes right down into the jungle, the Amazon jungle. Ecuador is such a country of contrasts. It's amazing. And the people are so friendly. It was wonderful.
Now, what time of year would Ecuador be?
And Ecuador, as its name implies, it's right on the equator. But the driest time in Ecuador is actually September, October. We didn't know that. So we went out there in February and we did get wet.
I'm looking at the pictures, though. Ecuador Avenue of the Volcanoes Trail. I mean, that's truly unique, those pictures.
It is. It is. So, you know, the thing about traveling on horseback is it's a unique way to see the world. You can get completely off the beaten track. You get away from the tourist crowds and you're part of the local community because everywhere we have a horseback vacation, there's a horse culture and they're all different. So the Chagras in Ecuador is a like the Ecuadorian cowboys. They have a culture all of their own with these ponchos and the riding and there's cattle herding up there. And you know, it's you just become part of a different community and you see the whole world in a different way. And you can go so much further than you can when you're walking. You can look around you because your horse is watching his feet. When you're hiking, you're just watching, you know, where you put your feet. On a horse, you can just wander off and look around you. I'm just a complete convert. It's an amazing experience.
Well, and you also do, I don't want to overlook this because a lot, you know, most of our listeners, about 70% are in the United States. You also do rides, you know, you also have rides here, right?
Oh, yeah, because you have such a special country. You know, you've got a huge amount of space and a lot of it is completely unspoiled. So, and not to mention a horse culture, which is second to none. It's famous worldwide. You know, the movies just do nothing but, you know, showcase cowboy culture. And it's true and it's there. I mean, Montana, Colorado, the whole of the Rockies. It's amazing. And Canada, you know, Banff National Park, all those sort of places.
Yeah, Canada is one we haven't even talked about this week, but obviously a huge horse culture in the Calgary area and all of that up through there. Yeah.
But here's the, here's the difference between the U.S. and riding in the U.S. and riding in like Africa. So I'm looking on your website on unicorntrails.com and I'm looking at destinations and it talks about like riding ability that's required. And, you know, in the States and in the West, you know, and walk, 10-minute trot, maybe a little lope, you know. Here at the ones in Africa, it says riding ability, rising trot for 10-minute stretches, and the ability to gallop away from danger. Like, that's awesome.
Well, you know, we honestly, I mean, we this is one of the things people will often exaggerate their riding ability a little bit, but we find they don't really do it when it comes to safaris. And in fact, if anything, people underestimate their riding abilities. And we're really happy with that because there's nothing worse than going on a ride that's, you know, advertised for good riders and then somebody can't ride and you're having to, you know, slow down. And that's what we specialists are about, making sure that doesn't happen to you.
I feel like nobody would lie if they were like told you have to be able to gallop away from danger.
Yeah, the lion will eat you. So that's
you will die.
Well, actually, it'll probably eat your horse and not you, but that would just be sad too.
Yeah, nobody wants to see that. So one other question before we let you go. You've been an absolutely fascinating guest. I love talking to you. We could do this all day. We probably will someday. But I don't ride. I'm a horse husband, but I drive. I drive carriages. Is there a carriage driving vacation?
Oh, yeah, there is. We've got one in Norway, which is amazing. And I'm just working on a new one in South Africa, actually, in the Cape. So that is actually surprisingly popular, not only for people who don't ride, but also for people who used to ride but feel like they can't really do a day in the saddle anymore. So, we do have a few, not as many as I'd like, because it's all, you know, the route you have to take has got to be away from a road, a busy road, but it's through nature, and it's a little bit more limited than your four-wheel drive horseback, but... We do have some.
Well, that's great, and I love Norway. We were there a couple of years ago, and I'd go back to Norway in a minute. So, yeah, that's perfect.
Yeah, and there's also combinations. You know, there's sort of places where the husbands can fish and, you know, people can ride or where the husbands do mountain biking tours. We've got one in the vineyards of Alsace in France where, you know, you can mountain bike and ride and meet up for wine tastings, those sorts of things.
That sounds
Bye.
Good, too.
Have fun on your bike.
Wendy, the website is unicorntrails.com. I you've been a great guest, and we love talking to you. I appreciate
it. Thank you. You're welcome.
Before we wrap the show today and get into the post show, where we're going to do a little bit of weird news, you mentioned your Spain trip, and that was one that we wanted to chat about a little bit. How long ago was that? Got it.
We did that. It was like we were talking about planning a family and Chad's like, what is on your bucket list you want to do before you have a kid? And so
Has it been that long?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I know. It feels like yesterday. So we did it, I think, in 2012. And then I came home and got pregnant like the next minute.
Oh,
So, I mean, that's what Spain does if y'all are. I know. So I wanted to ride Andalusians in Spain. That was like the dream. And so we booked it through Darlene Newman's travel company. And she recommended this one called EponaSpain.com. And it's in the Sevilla area. And it was awesome. I mean, you know, it's hard to be a horse person, especially like the not, you know, I've been riding my whole entire life, and I've had horses since I was 6 years old. So I'm pretty particular about the horses and the horsemanship and the horse care. And this place was awesome. It was so interesting to me to see the different ways that people, you know, horse husbandry is just different in different countries. I brought home one of the horseshoes because we don't even have horseshoes like this here in the U.S. I mean, it was just such an interesting, the type of hay they feed, everything is so different. But we got there, they picked us up from the airport. We flew into Madrid, spent a couple days in Madrid, and then went down to Sevilla and took a train and got there. And the sweet little guy who runs the place, he picks you up. He's kind of your driver. And you go, and there's different things you can do. So there is the training and trail, which is you take a riding lesson with Kati, who is, she's been on the show before, we have had her on, and you take a dressage lesson with her on an Andalusian. And it's a culmination of riding where at the end of the week, I was doing Piaf and Passage on these Andalusians. And then in the afternoon, you would take a trail ride. And so Chad would take a lesson, and, you know, his was a beginner lesson. And then there was another guest who was a more advanced rider. So she and I had dressage lessons together, and then we would trail ride in the afternoon or vice versa. So they have train and trail. They have like an intensive training, which is you go there and you are riding. They do dressage clinics with Rafael Soto, who had Invisor, the silver medalist, I think, in the Olympic Games in dressage. He's an Andalusian. And you get to go on like some side trips. They take you to a tack shop in Sevilla, and then you go to the Royal Andalusian School in Jerez. And that's ridiculous. It's like their version of the Spanish riding school with the Lipizzans. And so it's awesome. The owner of the, like I said, the gentleman is the one who drives you around and kind of manages you, but then his wife cooks you three meals a day, and the food was incredible. Now, when I was there, they had like little apartments you would stay in. I think they've now transitioned that to you're staying off property, which in nicer accommodations. So, I mean, I was fine, you know, horse people, we don't care. But I think they've even kind of switched it up since we have been there. But I mean, the horses were amazing and beautiful, and the training was great. And I didn't feel like there was bad, you know, like I'm kind of like a big softy about stuff, you know, like I'm not going to whip anything or do. And there was none of that. Like it was just, there's no roll cur involved in these Andalusian horses, you know,
blue
like it was
tongues,
like,
or any of that stuff.
No, yeah. No, everybody was happy to work. You know, a clue to me is when you take the horse from wherever they're being tacked up to where they're going to be ridden. And are they willingly walking in that direction? You know, like, do they want to go to work? And all these horses wanted to go to work. I didn't have any problems. And they let me ride this spectacular black stallion named Deseado. Like, I remember my horses' names. I rode Naranjero went on the trail rides, which I was like, what does that mean? And he was like, it means orange picker. Like, okay. And so I rode like trails on one Andalusian, and then I took lessons on another, and then they give me a couple cat strides on some other ones that I wanted to try out. It was just really awesome. And do you remember I did that gazpacho recipe on the air?
Yes.
This is where I got that recipe.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So
and people have made it. I know that listeners talked about making that one.
It's so good. I make it all summer. So that is where I got that recipe. So I loved it. Epona, Spain was where it was. And actually, if you go and you search in the archives of our show, I actually did some interviews with the folks there and talked about, we did like some training tips and one of like how to teach flying lead changes. And it was really, really fun. So I would definitely recommend that place to anybody because it was it's like a small family farm feel, but with like ridiculous horses and ridiculous dressage. So it was cool.
So if you want to do your bucket list thing before you have your first baby, then that you know where to go.
Yeah. Now that my kid's 10, I'm like, now let's go to Africa.
By the way, earlier in the show, you talked about screenwriter John Fusco, and I found the episode he was on was March 15th of 2019. So March 15th of 2019 is where you can find that. And we'll be sure to include that in a best of coming up. So that's where you can find that interview. You can go back and listen to that. It should be on your podcast player too. If you go, if you scroll way back, or you can just go to the website and find it there. Just search for March 15th, 2019. Now, before we go, I wanted to mention that we'll be back on Friday. Lisa will be here on Friday. Jamie's got to go take care of family business. But Lisa will, and we will be
back to Florida.
Speaking of travel, not for fun. And then we'll be back to talking more travel on Friday. And I'm sure Lisa's done some equestrian travel too. We'll talk to her about that. But before we go today, I wanted to close with something. Sometimes I close with a meme or what the national day is today. But I saw this article today, came out today on Eventing Nation, and it was with Lainey Ashker. And they're doing these really interesting articles that are more of a deep dive into what it's really like, you know, past the Instagram photos of being professional riders. And the last thing, question they asked, and the last sentence, couple sentences she wrote, I thought really, I don't know. It just said a lot. And Lainey's been on the show before. Mom's been on the show before. Remember when she did that cross country ride? Yeah.
Yeah. I think she's doing it again too.
Is she really? I didn't know that. So what advice would you offer to someone in the sport facing adversity? Now, she's talking about eventing, but in horse sports in general, I think you'd apply this. She said, "This sport is tough, expensive, and physically demanding, but it's also my dream. And that dream drives me through the struggles because giving up would cost me more." Interesting statement. If someone is facing adversity, I urge them to consider that scenario and ask themselves if they've left no stone unturned, because in my experience, there's always another stone.
Nice.
I just love that. I love what it said about life, right? I mean, isn't that true about life?
Yeah.
You know, just when you think all the stones are turned, there's another stone. You know, you just got to hang out long enough to find the other stone. So thank you, Lainey, for our closing quote of the day. Hang on, auditors. We'll do some weird news in the post.
Hey, everybody. Go to Montana. Go to Africa.
All the places.
We're marching towards death. Go.
Ecuador.
Run.
That's right. I forgot about marching toward death.
I haven't.